get it. The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
You know, when I saw this clip of Chapel Roan on the Call Her Daddy podcast talking about kids, I wasn't going to bring it up until I saw just how much it was resonating with the mothers of the world. So if you haven't seen this clip yet, Chapel Roan was interviewed by Alex Cooper, who hosts the Call Her Daddy podcast. And what Alex does is she does these like hour and a half long celebrity interviews. And they talk like, you know, they're friends just gabbing at lunch or whatever. And Chapel opens up about where she comes from. I guess she comes from like a very like low key down home background where like her friends, even though she's out like doing drag and doing all like these incredible concerts and performances and being a superstar, a lot of her friends back home are like parents with young kids. And she said something very controversial that has not sat well with the parents of America.
All of my friends who have kids are in hell. I actually don't know anyone who's like happy and has children at this age. I have like a 1-year-old, like 3-year-old, 4 and under, 5 and under. I literally have not met anyone who's happy, anyone who has like light in their eyes, anyone who has, yeah. who has slept.
This is not looking too good.
I'm like, why did my parents do that? I'm the oldest of 4. My mom had me at 23.
Why are people upset about that?
People are upset about this, basically saying you're saying that all parents are unhappy. You don't know anybody happy with kids.
That's what she's saying. In her world, in her circle, people her age that have kids aren't happy. It's just her world, though. I'm not taking offense to that.
I didn't take offense to it either because I'm a parent and I co-sign. But she talked about anybody who has like 5 and younger, right? So those early years, man, those early years are rough. And here's the thing. Like it's, she goes, because Chapel just said like, everybody's like, feels like they're in hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's hell and it's heaven. Mm-hmm. Like you have those peaks and you have those highs, but people tend to like to complain rather than, because they don't want to be like braggadocious about their kids. So you tend to do a little bit more of the complaining side, and there's nothing wrong with that. Cause dude, you got to vent and you need to complain, especially when you're a parent. So, do I think it's as bad as she is saying it is? I don't know. I mean, it's what she's, like Bert says, what she's witnessing with her parent friends. But is it a lot tougher than I ever imagined? Is it a lot harder than I ever imagined? Are there days when I'm like, I don't even know how we got through the day? Absolutely. And I think now more people are talking about it than before. I think people used to gloss over it and be like, no, parenthood is amazing. And you're creating life and then you're molding life. Dude, at times it sucks.
Yeah. Well, and look at her perspective on things also. She's from a small town in Missouri. She's 27 years old now. She's living this big life. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's all over the place. I mean, she goes into these stadiums and you got 25,000 people that are applauding her and can't get enough of her. And then she goes back to this small town that lives a very normal life, right, with kids. And in her world, that's hell. But for her, that's just her opinion. That's what she's saying. Big deal.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things on the internet where everyone takes it as a personal attack. Like you see somebody's opinion about their experience with kids and you immediately feel like your experience as a parenthood has just been completely been invalidated. Like, okay, well, if Chapel Roan is saying it's hell, that must mean that she's coming for all parents and saying that there's no good experiences. But I think the key thing that she said in her interview was that at this age, and I think it's fair to say that when you're 23, like, it's a lot harder than when you maybe have like the financial resources to take care of kids and the time to take care of kids and maybe like the village that you've built around you to take care of them. So I think people need to lay off of her, but knowing the internet, they're not going to. Okay, did you guys see the ending credits for Saturday Night Live this weekend?
I did, and I feel like your first two stories are, and they should be reported on because it's everywhere, but it's like much to do about nothing.
Well,
I disagree.
I disagree too. And
okay.
I'm a country music fan, and I know Morgan Wallen is like a very controversial subject, but when I saw him walk off the set of Saturday Night Live, and I'll explain real quick, that basically at the end of Saturday Night Live, like it's the host and it's the musical guest and it's this big like, yay, we did it, we finished, and everyone will kind of talk to each other and they'll give each other hugs and they'll kind of hang out. It's not one of those things that where you're like, okay, thanks for watching, bye, and you leave. And so essentially what Morgan Wallen did was, Mikey Madison, who was the host for this episode, said, thanks to everyone, thanks to Morgan Wallen, glad we did it, blah, 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 blah. And then the music starts rolling for the ending credits. And then Morgan just goes, walks off set.
Well, he hugged her.
He hugged her.
The host and the musical guest, so Mikey and Morgan, chatted for a second, gave like a pseudo hug, And then he just walked off towards the camera, which is what made it so awkward.
I was like, have you never seen an ending credits of Saturday Night Live before? Like, did his publicist not warn him? Did they not give him instructions to stay? Or was he just so ready to go that he was like, bye.
There's going to be a good chance that during the show today, I'm like so at peace because I was around friends this weekend and love and I'm just feeling so good that everything seems trite, right? But I was feeling like, okay, here's a guy that's from a little itty bitty town in Tennessee, I believe. And if I could, I sort of felt like I understand him having to be in New York City, that this would be a city that he absolutely hates. So he's there all week. He's on stage. And as soon as the cameras go off, because I think he said to somebody like, I'm going back to God's country.
He posted on his social media a photo of the private jet and said, get me back to God's country.
Yeah. So I thought maybe that was his perspective on the thing. Like, he just hates New York City, and I can understand it.
Okay, that's fine if you hate New York City, but you got invited to come on SNL and be a musical guest. Show some respect to the people that worked really hard to make it a good show that week.
Sure, stay another 60 seconds, right?
Yeah, and so, I mean, people are going to come down on him because of it, but I just think it looked really bad on him. I don't think he meant anything by it, but it wasn't great.
And then somebody else was saying, too, that maybe they had to been doing, like, camera blocking or whatever earlier in the week, and that's the way you walked off after camera blocking, but I'm like, you know this is not a rehearsal. Like, you know, there's people in the audience watching. Like,
well, in the overall scheme of things, if he's going to be in the news, at least it's not for using the N-word, which he has before, or throwing a chair off a building. So we're getting better.
This is progress.
He just walked off stage early.
Yeah, we're getting better.
All right, Sydney Sweeney is sparking dating rumors after she was spotted at his sister's wedding this past weekend. I'll tell you all about it on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Sydney Sweeney is sparking dating rumors after she was spotted at a co-star's sister's wedding this past weekend. Now, we've been sitting on these rumors for a hot second because ever since Sydney Sweeney pushed off her wedding, she delayed her wedding that was supposed to happen in May. She has been spotted out living at the Beverly Hills Hotel, living girls' nights out and about, and there have been rumors flying that she and her mans have split up. She's been engaged to this guy named Jonathan Davino. Well, if you also remember about a year and a half ago when she was coming out with a big rom-com named Anyone But You, she had a lot of dating rumors spark with Glenn Powell, her co-star. Everyone thought they had amazing chemistry. The press junkets were fantastic. They were like, they just had such great banter that I think everyone thought, like, there's no way something didn't happen on that set. The thing is that Sydney and her fiance had both produced that film. So she was like, of course, nothing's going to happen. Like, my fiance is on set with me every single day. We're just leaning into this because we want our movie to do well. And that movie did do very well. I've seen it maybe four or five times. It's very good. Great rom-com. However, now, Sydney Sweeney has been spotted in Texas at Glenn Powell's sister's rehearsal dinner and possibly even went to the wedding this weekend. And you don't just do that with anybody that you just had a typical friendship with. This is a wedding. This is literally the rom-com we've been waiting for happening in real life. You break up with your fiance that wasn't right for you. You thought you were just going to delay the wedding. You're living in a hotel, the Beverly Hills Hotel in Los Angeles, and now you're running off to be with your co-star for his sister's wedding. Like, this is literally the perfect rom-com.
If you're like in your mid-20s or close to 30, this is the couple that you are dying to have together. They become celebrity royalty couple if they are together because they're both the hottest actors and actresses in the country.
Yeah, people have been shipping them ever since they did their press tour for the movie. I'm trying to think, like, how she would have gotten to know Glenn Powell's sister so well.
I know that. So basically his sister, Leslie Powell, had worked on Anyone But You. Okay. So I guess they must have met while they were on set together.
Well, see, okay, so there. Like, if they hadn't worked together, like, that would be, but since they had a working relationship and maybe she got to know her, really liked her, and now they're BFF, so of course she'd be at her wedding, and it has nothing to do with Glenn.
Well, think about, like, your former coworkers. Like, you're really, really close in the moment because it's like a friendship of convenience mostly, and then, you know, you go off and you do your separate things, and Leslie, I think, lives in Texas, and, you know, Sydney Sweeney's doing her own thing. To me, this feels a little bit fishier than just, like, coworkers going out for their wedding.
So I said this before, I don't believe anything that comes out of Los Angeles, nothing. I think everything is all calculated. So even if this is not a relationship at all, if I'm the PR people for both camps, I'm like, let's have them go out to lunch together and be spotted. you know what? Next Tuesday, let's set them up over at Spago's in the window just so people will continue to keep our client's name in the news.
I will say, whoever her PR team is, whoever her publicist is genius because, of course, this is the exact thing you want to get the people talking, to steer you away from all those negative breakup rumors and right into the arms of our boy, Glenn Powell.
But think about it. If you are Glenn Powell's sister and they're using your wedding as publicity fodder as the bride,
I'd be pissed.
Really?
No, yes. This is good because apparently Leslie is a singer-songwriter, so this is good publicity for her, too. It gets her name. I didn't even know Glenn had a sister. Now I know Glenn's got a sister. Now I know that she worked on Anyone But You, and she's a singer-songwriter. Like, really, the true winner out of this is maybe Leslie putting out some kind of song about two lovers who can't be together for whatever reason, and it's like, you know, a fake narrative about whatever is allegedly going on. So I think they're all going to come out on top here. Okay, we've talked on the show about how you shouldn't have 100% honesty in your relationship.
It's about 2 percentage points too much.
Yeah, you gotta have about 98% honesty. And Jenna Bush Hager and her husband Henry Hager decided to put their relationship on the line on the Today Show when they both did a lie detector test and he had to reveal what gives him the ick about Jenna.
Henry, have I ever given you the ick?
Yes. John, that's a true answer. Henry, do you want to expand on that?
When did I give you the ick?
Sometimes in the morning, you know, you might want to brush your teeth.
That is so rude.
She's waking up at 3 a.m. Like, yeah. You got to give her a break.
That's a given for everybody.
It's a given for everybody, especially when you work in this industry. A former Love is Blind star apparently divorced his wife with a surprise Instagram post. I'm going to tell you what we do know about the breakup on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
A former Love is Blind star apparently divorced his wife with a surprise Instagram post. So this comes from the first season of Love is Blind, which actually took place in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So this is a guy named Mark Cuevas, and he posted on Instagram a joint statement, an alleged joint statement from him and his wife of 3 years, Aubrey. He said, "Hey everyone, after a lot of thought and conversations, Aubrey and I decided to part ways a few weeks ago, our top priority will always be our boys. We're committed to co-parenting with love, respect, and teamwork so they feel supported and secure every step of the way. As we begin this new chapter, we kindly ask for your understanding and privacy, especially for the sake of our children. We truly appreciate your support and respect during this time. With gratitude, Mark and Aubrey." So then the drama starts in the comments section, because then his wife Aubrey says in the comments.
Oh, his wife commented?
Yeah. "This is news to me."
She did not.
She did.
No.
Straight up. She goes, "This is news to me." Apparently, he didn't consult with her about this post.
No way.
So
yeah, I don't believe that.
This is what she's saying. She said there was never a conversation or discussion. He got caught out with women and had to cover his tracks to maintain his public image. I had no part in this statement, and it's news to me as it is to everyone else.
All right. It only takes one call, Bert. Mm-hmm. Who found out on social media you were getting a divorce?
Oh, God. All right. 1-855-BIRCHELL. Let's try.
Because they announced it, or because they saw, like, some suspicious behavior?
No. Because the other person announced it without them knowing, like, what she is accusing him. Like, she's accusing him of posting that they're getting a divorce, and she's like, "News to me." So I want to know if there is a Burt Show listener out there who literally found out that their significant other was divorcing them because they posted it on social media, not because they had, like, a heart-to-heart about it.
Because to me, this looks like a... According to what she's saying, he's trying to get ahead of the narrative. Like, if he's the first to post, if he puts out a joint statement, and anything that she says afterwards is going to make her look crazy.
Yeah, and I will say this without getting into it. A former friend of mine had this same experience with him. He's got a history of doing this.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay, T. All right. Well, Fran Drescher, she has definitely quite the romantic escapades, maybe more successful than the younger generation, because at 67 years old, she is talking to Page Six about a, quote, little rotation of friends with benefits that she has. She was basically saying that I'm Fran Drescher. What do you think? She has so many different friends with benefits. She says that we're very comfortable with each other and we have our routine. It's always the same experience. We don't go out. We don't go to restaurants. We don't date. What we do great. He comes over and we hang out and we do the hot tub and I make us some food and we lay in bed and maybe watch tennis together, whatever it is, or a movie. And then of course she gets a little bit more graphic. But I love that at the age of 67, in your elder years, you can still have a fun, flirty, good time with whoever. So shout out to Fran Drescher. She's definitely having a renaissance of coming back into the public eye.
Flings know no age.
All right, James Patterson and one of the biggest YouTubers of all time are collaborating on a novel. I'm going to tell you who's supposedly co-authoring James's next book on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment
There's
buzz.
Literally no weekend for us to do a vacation together, so I was like, I'll see you next year. All right, Mr. Beast and James Patterson are going to co-write a Battle Royale-style thriller novel together. This is very interesting because I didn't take Mr. Beast for much of a writer. He's really good at video production, but the thought of him putting together a thriller Battle Royale-esque storyline for a book just seems very much out of his wheelhouse. But
this guy is so, I mean, the one thing I love about him is just that he thinks so big and he really doesn't do any kind of inbox thinking. I think he can pull it off.
The difference between like video editing and writing a novel, like a James Patterson style novel, is with video editing, like somebody's attention span is so short. Like you gotta like pack a lot into 10 minutes. Whereas I feel like people really attach themselves to books because you need so much backstory. You need a lot of setup and you really got to draw it out for 1,000 pages. And that's why people get so invested in the stories, because it requires your full attention. Whereas when you're doing more of like video style content, I feel like it's a different like a wheelhouse you have to have in your head.
Well, what I know of Mr. Beast is obviously everything he does from a philanthropic side and you know how charitable he is, but also from his new TV show like The Beast Games or whatever it's called. And it makes me think, like, is he behind, like, is he the one that is masterminding some of these scenarios, or is it producers? Because if he is masterminding some of these scenarios, then I feel like he can weigh in on this book and actually like make it something impressive.
I'm pretty sure it's a complete team behind it. But I did watch a video with him, an interview with him last week, and he said his entire career is based on the purple cow theory. Do you know what that is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Purple cow theory is like you have to do something so extraordinary and so out of the ordinary that it stands out. Like you could see 100 cows in a day, but if you see a purple cow, that's the first time you've ever seen that. And that's the thing that you're going to remember. And that's what he's built his entire career on, is just doing something that hasn't been done. He's a pretty interesting dude.
So apparently the novel is already getting shopped around, and apparently there is a bidding war already for a film and TV adaptation, which to me feels like this is definitely a team move. Like, I don't think you just like, I don't think you just go, oh yeah, Mr. Beast is going to come out with a novel and it's going to be pitch perfect the first time around. I think they are really trying to figure out how they can make this, I don't want to call it a PR stunt because I feel like that's kind of biting, but like the publicity they're going to get from the fact that Mr. Beast is working with James Patterson, they're just going to use that to turn whatever film or TV show they can into a cash grab.
Yeah, I don't think it's Mr. Beast's name that has this already having like a potential film. That is James Patterson all the way.
You think so?
Oh my God, yes. James Patterson, are you freaking kidding me? Yeah, he's got the Midas touch when it comes to his books. Like, they're like, oh, this will be huge because of him, and Mr. Beast just so happens to be attached to it.
I think they're just trying to appeal to a younger audience because, like, don't get me wrong, like, I know who James Patterson is because I love to read. In fact, James Patterson was my commencement speaker at the University of Florida, so I love James Patterson. But I think they're probably trying to just get more of those younger readers into, like, the novels and stuff, and getting on Book Talk as well is a huge, huge win if you can get your book to go viral on TikTok. So it definitely seems like it's a smart power play no matter what, and I'll probably end up reading it because I do love a book. All right, Kanye West is saying he didn't want to have kids with Kim Kardashian. This is another very controversial interview with Kanye. What else is new? But he did a recent interview with DJ Academics where he is wearing a black robe that resembles the KKK uniform. But he also says something not as egregious as wearing a KKK uniform. But he does say that he didn't want to have kids with Kim Kardashian. He said, that was my fault. I didn't want to have children with this person after the first 2 months of being with her. But that wasn't God's plan. This is so dumb. You're going to say that when your 4 kids are already on this earth is ridiculous.
I
know this feels like a fever dream. What? He's wearing a black KKK cap and gown type deal, talking about how he doesn't want to have kids with Kim Kardashian, despite the fact that he already has kids. The whole thing is ridiculous.
Moral question for you. Mm. We get an email. Mm. We can interview Kanye West. Mm-hmm. Are you taking that?
No. I'm just not buying it. And I know that this is what he wants.
Yeah.
What we're doing right now is exactly what he wants. So I feel like he's calculating like these very controversial, ridiculous things to say. And he wants people to be outraged by it. Oh, my God. Can you believe what Kanye did today? And you know what? I'm just saying to myself, I'm smarter than that. I'm not buying into it at all.
I'm the same way. If anything, we should be talking to Kim Kardashian about how she feels about this entire thing. All right. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.